In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testifies concerning him. He cries out, saying, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me has surpassed me, because he was before me.' From the fullness of his grace, we have all received one blessing after another. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but God, the one and only, who is at the Father's side, has made him known."
Did you feel that story today? For some reason, I just love Celtic music. I have some friends that are big fans and players of the music. And so we've been talking lately about this music and what music does in our lives. As we have experienced here over the last month with things happening in our own music ministry, the music we've experienced this morning through bells, music is a part of our lives. Music tells a story in these rich harmonies. A poem is shared with multiple sounds all happening at the same time. For Celtic music, most of this music identifies people with a certain region, so that gives different sounds. Large tones, small tones, high pitch, low pitch, all coming together in harmony, in melodic variations. I think that's what John is doing in our gospel this morning. In what we call this prologue, this introduction that orients us to what's going to happen in John's gospel as he tries to bring this story to life. With music. With poetry. Some people say that John's prologue is actually quoted from an early church hymn. I have no idea if that's true, but I found that very interesting. Because it tries to capture our emotions and capture our imagination. Communication in music. We learned from a very early age, as we talked about in the children's sermon, that very first song that we probably learned, "Jesus Loves Me," tells a story. Breaks open this story for us so that it comes alive. So let's talk about this story as we are still in the Christmas season. Michael Briggs is one of the members of Lost and Found. It's a band out of Minnesota that just dissolved this year. They started in the 80s. And he tells this story of how the gospel was originally three words. Any guesses on what those words are? He is risen. Those three words. And he says, so you start, well, who is risen? Well, Jesus is risen. Well, why did he die? Well, they crucified him. Well, why did they crucify him? Well, he did signs and wonders demonstrating the kingdom of God. Oh, well, where is he from? Nazareth. Really? Well, actually, he was born in Bethlehem. And so the story just keeps going backwards until you see the beginning of the Gospels, where Mark has decided that, you know, John the Baptist is the one that shows up. And Matthew says, no, 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 we need to go back to the birth of Jesus and actually Abraham's lineage. And Luke says, no, 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 we need to just go to the annunciation of the birth of Jesus' cousin, John the Baptist. And John taps him all and says, no, 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 we're going to go back to in the beginning. In the beginning, that sets all the hopes for what could be, as it was for John's context, as it was for the audience of John. They never knew what they would encounter from the very beginning, before the world was created. The beginning, the new beginning of God, the Word made flesh. This phrase that becomes full of the past, yet gives witness to the potential and possibilities in the present and in the future, where we think about who we are, where we've come from, what we are called to be in the beginning. This Word made flesh brings words to life, words that we hear in this gospel. Barbara Brown Taylor, one of my favorite theologians, says that each one of us has a gift for bringing the Word to life, she says. Those words could be compassion, justice, generosity, patience, or love, whatever that word might be. She says, until someone acts upon those words, they remain abstract concepts. They're very good ideas that few people have ever seen. But the moment that someone acts on them, those words become flesh. They live among us so that we can see their glory. The past couple weeks have been a couple of weeks of sharing memories for me as I've been away from family for another Christmas, and as they're celebrating and calling and talking about Christmases of the past. And my grandmother, for Christmas, surprised us all and put together a memory book, Four Family Memories. And I got it in the mail yesterday. So yesterday was a hard day of reading this memory book. But those words came to life because they're stories that I was a part of, stories that my cousins shared about my grandparents, stories that my nieces and nephew wrote about my mother and my dad. Stories that come to life because of an experience that we've had. Stories that I read about my grandma and all of us experiencing the same thing, that this faithful woman taught us what it means to be the Word made flesh, to bring alive what it means to be a faithful disciple. For 12 pages, her whole family talked about how wonderful she is and how much she taught us about life and joy and love, even in the hardships. I'm sure we all have someone in our lives who has brought this story to life. Because I think that's what we desire the most. We desire to see God. And how we see God is through other people experiencing that Word come alive. How God is revealed in our lives. How God's love embraces us, loves us, shows us what it means to be people of God. This is the Christmas story that John's Gospel tells, giving this theology to help us to go deeper into this wonder. Because words are not just ideas. They shape our lives. They shape our world. Words do things. And words don't leave us unchanged. We heard words in the book of Ephesians like inheritance and hope, salvation, freedom, creation, adoption, family, all of these words that connect us to God, that give us purpose. That word, Jesus, gifted us with life. That word illuminates and drives away all darkness. That word became incarnate with a purpose. How will you live your lives in the coming days testifying to that word, its life, and its light? What does it look like for you to embody this story? So the Christmas after my mom passed away on Thanksgiving, my family all came to Texas. This was the last time they were in Texas for Christmas, so 5 or 6 years ago. And I will never forget the day. My family, we're a bunch of hunters and fishermen, if you can believe it. And so we went to Cabela's for a 4-hour tour, I tell you. It was an extremely long day. But we were in Cabela's in Buda. And I was still working. I had to, you know, work, do the work of the church, and we were getting ready for a big youth event in our synod. So I stepped outside and was sitting on a bench with this teenage boy, and I was talking on the phone to one of my colleagues who we were preparing for the Bible study. So we were talking about what that was going to look like and how do we talk to teenagers about this word coming alive. And he, my colleague being the sweet man that he is, said some wonderful words about memories and sharing a life with mom, this being the first Christmas without her. So tears were just streaming down my cheeks as I was talking to him. And finally, he stopped his trying to build me up moment, and we hung up. And this teenage boy next to me, he said, "So, are you okay?" "Yeah, I'm good." Tears streaming, blubbering everywhere. "Yeah, I'm fine. Great." And so he said, "Well, tell me about this thing that you guys are doing. This, you know, with teenagers. Because, you know, I'm a teenager. I'm 16. My name is Matt." "Hey, Matt. I don't really want to talk to you, but I'll talk to you." And he said, so we talked about this event, and he said, "Huh, so Jesus is important to you." And I said, "Yes." He said, "Well, you know, Jesus is important to me, too." I said, "Oh, great." And he said, "Well, it sounds like, you know, you're having a hard time, but I want you to know it's Christmas time." I said, "Yes, Matt, thank you for that information." And he said, "No, it's Christmas time. It's a time of new hope, a new year, and new light. Christmas will bring you light. Trust me." "Yeah, yeah, whatever." No, I listened, because then Matt went on to talk about the story of his father dying in Iraq. And he was very young, and he had a very difficult time with understanding that death. And it, too, was at a holiday time, and so he was struggling. And he said, "One of the things that my pastor taught me is he gave me this sign that says, 'I am God's child, deserving of love and respect, and God will use me to change the world.'" He said, and I took that sign and I kind of put it in my books for school, and I, you know, it was in my backpack, and I took it everywhere I went. And every once in a while, I would pull it out, and I would be reminded, "I am God's child, deserving of love and respect, and God will use me to change the world." He said, "Merry Christmas," and walked off. A message of light and hope, a message embodying that word. That word became flesh that day. I wrote that down myself, lost it along the way, find it again every once in a while. But I'm reminding you today that you are God's child, deserving of love and respect. And God will use you to change the world, one person at a time, one moment of that word becoming flesh at a time. May we become and then share the good news. And more than that, may we be open to the good news which all people on earth embody, learning and receiving from them as much as they learn and receive from us as we become a part of this word coming alive in 2016.